This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
I want to get to something Fletcher Cox said, but first I want to play some Nick Sirianni audio. Because Sirianni talked, you know, the Eagles are releasing, it feels like, more and more these days from a social media standpoint. And I think this is an initiative to try to put content out. But I also wonder, John, are they pumping out some Sirianni content to make the populace feel better about him? Look, I already feel he's a better coach than a lot of people think. But if you put out video where he's talking to the team, and it's good video, maybe people will vibe with it. Let's listen to Sirianni. This is him talking to the guys this week. I like this message a lot. Here's Nick Sirianni to his dudes this week.
We got really good players. We got a really good front office and GM, right? And with great talent, and with great coaches, and with great physicality, and with great detail, you can win a lot of games. You can win 10, 11, 12 games. But you can't do special unless we continue to come together as a football team. I ain't into winning 10, 11, 12 games. We've done that here. We've done that there. I want to do special and you can't do special alone.
Gotta tell you, Jason.
Ah, love it.
I'm not a warrior, okay? You're a warrior. John Rich is a warrior. Me, not a warrior. I'm ready to run through a wall.
Yeah, no, Nick can get you motivated for sure. And, you know, we've talked about this before. I think Nick, one of his strengths as a coach is these team meetings and holding guys accountable and motivating his players. And I think that he's been great at that from the moment he really got there. I know the press conference thing made him look maybe not the most well-spoken, but in front of a group of guys, being himself and being able to talk the way he naturally speaks and things like that. And he always mixes in, you know, I mean, sometimes they're like this where it's like very clearly like, you know, there's no fluff to it, and it's very straightforward, and that's great. And then sometimes he's, you know, talking about, you know, firemen, and you're wondering where he's going with it, and all of a sudden he brings it back around. And, you know, I think that, you know, he puts a lot of time into that stuff, and, you know, I think that that's, you know, one of his strengths for sure is these team meetings and motivating players and bringing people together. Like, he's talking about bringing people together, you know, that's one of the biggest traits a head coach needs to be able to do is to communicate, to steer the direction of the team, the offense, the defense, the coaches, the players, bringing it all together. You know, he's the biggest part of that. And to be preaching that message makes a ton of sense.
So here's another, you know, thing on Sirianni. This, let's go to Fletcher Cox. Obviously, Jason, a player on the team last year and for many years and the entire tenure of Nick until this year. Same thing with Fletcher Cox. Same exact deal. Both retired, you know, same all season. Fletcher talked on the NFL Network this week about Sirianni and the Eagles team. Here's Fletcher a couple days ago on the NFL Network.
What do you make of the relationship right now between Eagles fans and the coach of this team?
Man, I think it's good. Nick is. Let's look at Nick's history. What he got? Playoffs, Super Bowl, playoffs. I mean, all he does is win, right? He find a way, and you know, with a coach like that, you know, that can get rally up a team of men and do what he's doing every year in and year out. Even with swapping coordinators the last 2 years, you know, the way that things have been going, you know, they're still finding ways to win. And I think, you know, this team could get scary in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
As it get cold, they can run the ball really good. And he always said, and always from every coach, teams that can run the ball in November, December when it gets cold, those are teams that can go deep into it. But I know he's taking these guys one game at a time and, you know, one team at a time. But I got nothing but respect for Nixon, you know, since day one.
All right, that's Fletcher on the NFL Network. John, here's where I'm at on what I think the town's at. Most people, is my assessment of people, most people still out on Nick, but in about a week or two, the bandwagon will begin, but will begin with hesitancy, and people will jump off quick if things end bad. But I think he hasn't gotten, in my opinion, enough credit for the 5-game winning streak and going through the fire he went through over the last month. But that'll change to an extent if they get this win tonight, because this is a big one, and this isn't the Giants and the Browns and all those other bum teams they face. This is a much better team, John.
It's a lot better team, and I still don't know how much, you know, Nick Sirianni's involvement will influence the win or loss tonight, which is part of like,
why do you
what
say
makes
that,
things
though?
Problematic
why?
For me. I don't understand his – my biggest worry, Jason, and maybe
sure.
You can help with this.
Yeah.
I have always worried about Nick's communication ability. Because from the very first press conference, all we have to go on are words. and it's kind of like he didn't do a good job of communicating to us, the media. And so I'm sitting there wondering, how is it that it could be so different that he would be able to communicate with the players effectively? Well, if it's this bad with us, how can it be so much better with the players who it truly matters with?
I think talking in front of a microphone and to the media is not always the most, you know, straightforward thing for people. Some guys are really good at that and some guys aren't as good with that. But usually that isn't as much of an indicator as like someone talking to a team or talking to people that they know. Like, I think it's a different thing. And so I always felt like Nick was very, very good at communicating. I think that he does a great job of, you know, preaching consistency and accountability and all these things are important to building a winning football team. I guess, like, do you, like, because I think the big thing people question with Nick is, like, what does he do, especially now that he's not a play caller? And I just think that there's a number of coaches that do this now, Dan Campbell being one of them, and, like, people really don't question what Dan Campbell does for the Detroit Lions.
Right.
They just take it for granted that he has, and I think, what you've seen with Dan is Dan, and it's been very impressive, and I've loved watching every step of it. Dan had a vision when he went to Detroit, and kudos, that organization backed him 1,000%, and they took 3 or 4 years to build exactly what he had in mind. And the coordinators are fantastic, and we'll see how that team does after this year, because there probably will be some staff members that leave.
Right.
But Dan has been the one who has preached what that football team is going to be from day one. What kind of, you know, what they're going to play, how they're going to be offensively, what their mentality is going to be, and all this. And, like, is it that substantive? No, it's not. But the high level of, like, who we are and what we stand for, I think is very, very valuable. And guys that have done that well have been Dan Campbell. I think John Harbaugh has done a tremendous job, as well as the organization in Baltimore. With
Tomlin.
Tomlin.
Another classic.
Tomlin has done a great job of that as well. And I think that Nick, maybe not as good in press conferences, although everybody laughed at Dan Campbell in his first press conference. He's talking about biting kneecaps off. I think Nick does a really good job of that. And I think if that's his job, is to steer everything, bring it all together, you know, be making sure it's all headed in the right direction. And I know that that's not as easy and transparent as like calling plays and whether he's good or bad at that. But I think that that has tremendous value. And, for the most part, he's been really, really good at that through his career. And even through last year, the collapse towards the end of the season, you know, he was working like hell and trying to keep that thing on board. And, you know, the coordinating positions did not pan out. We had players that were aging in some categories, and we just weren't as good as a team as the year before. And, you know, I think that, I mean, you got to give him some credit for, I don't know who made the hires or whatever. he's been the head coach through Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio coming on and these new additions, and there's, I mean, they've lost two games this year.
Yeah, no question. So, Jason in studio with us, as he is every Thursday at this time. Not every Thursday, though, do we give away tickets. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake studio. And we've been telling you all week, this very coveted game, which is in 12 hours and 14 minutes.
Not that we're counting.
Not that we're counting. Pre-game show starts now. Let's give away tickets right now.
And the name is...
All right, the final name you need to know for our contest is Donovan McNabb.
Wow.
So if you have followed what we've done this week, three names, one at 8 o'clock Tuesday, one Wednesday, one Thursday, all players that played for both the Eagles and Washington. So even if you didn't hear Tuesday and Wednesday, that's a little bit of a hint for you. Three prominent players that all played for... I didn't say Sonny Jurgensen. No Sonny Jurgensen.
Back too far.
A little far. A little far
Donovan
back.
Was traded
plus,
to Washington.
You didn't say Ryan Kerrigan? I mean,
plus,
you know
what?
Come on.
All three of these guys I liked. I never liked Sonny Jurgensen. When I'd hear him announce Washington games...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He was the worst.
He was awful.
He was the worst.
Donovan was traded on the eve of what major event?
Easter.
But what... It was major sporting event.
Okay, hold on. So 2000, it's good. No, hold on. I got to get in the hammer mode.
Okay.
No, brother.
Oh, here we go.
First off, I got to hit this here.
The hammer!
Right, you have
so,
to hit that?
So this would be 2010 Easter, and it's the eve of a major sporting event. So that would be the spring of 2010.
It has
that
to be.
Would be the start of Roy Halladay's career.
Excellent. That is outstanding. Wow, you know how to do that. The only reason I remember
it. Do you know why, Ray?
The hammer!
You are the
Enough
hammer.
Said.
It was 10 o'clock at night, and I got a text message from Andrew Perloff from Sports Illustrated. I was asleep, and I said, yeah. I got to change the entire schedule.
Sure.
And I had to call Angelo's wife, Gail, and say, leave a note on the mirror so he doesn't pass out when he hears the news. And I've got a whole baseball show
That's
scheduled.
Unbelievable.
It was crazy.
All right, so by the way, I forgot to say, first caller contest line, caller number one, you're going to win these tickets when you go 3 for 3 with the three names. Three names that we have featured at this time, 8 o'clock, the last 3 days, 215-988-1258. Be on the contest line, be the first caller, and you can win the tickets. Jason, do you, because I do you marvel at
the hammer!
Ability to get these things right? I mean, you got to admit.
The hammer!
Oh, my God.
It's impressive, useless knowledge. It's very good.
But hold on. It's extraordinarily impressive.
Oh, my God.
Impressive. Very, you know, that's like saying that. You're a good center. You're a good center.
Very good
center. Right, but I mean, when you stand there in Canton, Ohio, you can be like, hey, good? Better than that. Someone who will probably not get to Canton, Ohio, but will certainly get some votes someday and will definitely be in the Eagles Hall of Fame. Definitely in the Eagles Hall of Fame will be Zach Ertz. So before we get Jason's assessment of Zach and what he meant to the Eagles as both a friend and a player, and what a player. James, we have two pieces of audio, right? To kind of, all right. So let's get to
two pretty important plays by Zach Ertz.
Listen, these are two.
I think I know at least one. Play.
Well, I'll go as far as to say this: I think the first play we're going to feature,
is more important
than the second play.
100% agree.
Because when the Eagles take the lead with Zach Ertz's touchdown, it wasn't fourth down. Like you get another. I think it was second down. I think. Bottom line is, you get another crack at it if you don't get a TD on fourth and one. 5 minutes to go in the Super Bowl, fourth and one, ball near midfield. Yeah. If you don't convert this, it's probably lights out. Yeah. By the way, Nick Foles, great play. Big V got beat.
Gets out of the way, Foles, a little shimmy.
Foles goes left, and Zach Ertz, it was only a one-yard catch or a two-yard catch for a fourth and one, but it was a great hands catch, a little bit of traffic. Let's go back to the Super Bowl. 5 minutes to go, fourth and one. Doug with some big guts, and Zach Ertz with one of the biggest short catches in Eagles history. It was tight.
Yeah.
It was tight. Jason, do you remember that moment?
I mean, I remember all these moments to a degree, and the fourth down play, you know, for sure was one that stuck out because it was such a pivotal moment in the game.
You probably lose if you don't convert. Probably.
And that's the one that I probably remember more because, you know, whenever you go for it on fourth down, it's such a big gamble. If it works out, you know, you ultimately keep the drive going. If it doesn't, it's you know, devastating. And it was a huge play.
Yeah.
And I definitely remember that one. I remember being excited and happy, especially for Zach. But
you still had to get the ball down the field.
We did.
You guys are still trailing and still not even at midfield, and there's still only 5 minutes to go.
It was a quick, like, yeah, all right, what's the next play?
All right, well, let's get to not the next play, but it's probably 5 or 6 plays later. The ball has been, as Hank Stram would say, matriculated down the field. The Eagles are in striking distance of the goal line, and this was – I remember doing an event with Zach one time, and I said, dude, you caught the pass that won the Super Bowl for the Eagles. You're the only person in human history – to catch this. It's like Eric Bruntlett scored the run for the Phillies.
Well,
except there are 2 runs scored for the Phillies that won a World Series, 80 and 08.
Yeah.
Zach is the only one to ever catch the go-ahead touchdown to win the Eagles the Super Bowl.
I always say no one's made more big catches in Eagles history than Zach Ertz.
That certainly could be true. I mean, yeah, it might be. All right, let's listen to that moment back in February 2018. And, of course, that was a controversial play because did he actually catch it? Did he not? Went to replay the whole deal. So, and by the way, let me say congratulations to our caller and our listener, Justin, who hails from Havertown, who won the tickets. Justin, congrats on those tickets.
Justin.
And, of course, Rhea, those tickets given away courtesy of... Get the tickets tonight given away courtesy of NovaCare.
NovaCare, rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Sorry, I was cutting up a piece of sound.
Understood. All good. All right, so Jason, Zach Ertz tonight, man. What did he mean to you... to the Philadelphia Eagles? Try to put it in words, because obviously the Eagles will honor him tonight.
Well, Zach, you know, first and foremost, he was a great player, and I think that that's, you know, everybody knows that. I think that, you know, his ability to create mismatches and you know, be an incredible weapon for us throughout his tenure in Philadelphia made all of our jobs easier. I think that outside of that, he was just a great friend. He was a great teammate. He was a guy that was, you know, always around the group. He was always talking. He was always trying to get better. He was always trying to do his job better. I mean, Zach wasn't the greatest blocker, and he continually tried to improve that category of it. And I think that that was something that we always, like, you know, went back and forth with. And, you know, it's like he was just a good person, and he really cared about the city of Philadelphia. He really cared about the Philadelphia Eagles. He still cares. And I think that at the end of the day, you know, that's what this city respects. You know, I still remember... and I brought this up in my retirement speech, but the you know, he had a play against Vontaze Burfict across.
Oh yeah,
we remember too, Jason.
2016.
Everybody at WIP remembers because he was getting certainly destroyed.
Knew. Yeah,
and I mean, if we're being honest, I think it was probably rightly so, and I think he might say the same thing today. And I remember him catching the next pass, the very next game, and breaking like 3 or 4 tackles, which wasn't Zach's necessarily his specialty. And just running so hard. And you could tell instantly, you know, how much he wanted to, you know, break that last moment that had happened and prove that he was a hardworking, you know, Philadelphia Eagle. And right away the crowd erupted, and it was just an awesome moment for him, and one that I point to a lot of guys who are going through it in this city. It's like, dude, you know, that one play happened, that's done. Like, you can go and change this narrative right now. And
unless you're Joel and don't play.
Well, but I don't know that he can do much.
I'm sorry.
You know, he's got the knee issue or whatever's going on, but, you know, maybe they can give him a new knee. What's the status on that?
Well, mysterious. It is very mysterious.
I don't know why we're laughing, because the whole thing's falling
apart. It's devastating. Yeah, it's not fun at all.
What can you do about it? Like, you know, it's, I don't know. You know.
It's a mess.
It's like, well, the Tin Man, they gave him
the Tin Man.
A new
take him the
heart,
Oz.
Also,
right?
On...
was it the Lion who got the heart?
Yeah.
The Tin Man got the heart. Yeah,
Lying
something.
Got the heart.
Also on Ertz, too. Also has done a ton for this city, too. I just want to make sure we mention that, too.
Oh,
the Ertz Foundation, his mom,
yes,
his wife, the whole thing, just to round that out. Like, he is like a, Jason said
still,
it, he's a Philadelphian,
totally.
Zach Ertz.
Yeah, no, they're a great, very special family.
And we
very
should
special.
Talk about how difficult it's going to be to stop him. That connection between Jaden Daniels and Zach Ertz. When we come back, we should
talk about.
Talked about a close fourth down. I mean, they are very close to
winning
last
week. Right.
Exactly. I mean, arguably.
Very arguably.
All right, it was really hard to root against him, but I was pleased.
Right.
All right, so let's get to the big thing. Who's going to win? Tyson or Paul? No, that's tomorrow night or Saturday?
Yeah, it's Saturday.
By the way, who is going to win that? Jason? So we got Mike. Is it Logan Paul or?
It's Jake Paul.
Chris
Paul.
Mike Chris Tyson, Paul? Man.
I want Mike to win so bad.
Right?
I think Father Time is a tough one to compete with, man.
Say it ain't so. You think Mike Tyson's going to lose to some guy?
The other
not,
guy's a solid boxer, for what it's worth.
He
is. He's solid.
Jake, listen, this is what Jake does. He goes and finds people that are past their prime, and he makes a bunch of money off of a promoted fight, and that's...
I just figured
been
something...
working pretty well. I so badly want Mike to win this fight that I'm not going to say who I think is going to win the universe. I've seen a lot of unbelievable clips from Mike, and I just worry that those clips are like 15 seconds. And
yeah,
it's going to be it's hard, you know. But
how do you avoid if you're Jake Paul, like just one hit?
I know,
and it's a like lollipop.
58.
It's done, man.
58 Tyson. I mean, at 58, you still think hit has that power?
I do. I think one hit when you can torque it like he can.
To John's credit, I do think Mike can probably still deliver that power. My question is, you know, how fast is it going to be? How good is he going to be able to evade?
Yeah,
Jake's got the reach. He's a tall guy.
He does.
He could just jab him to death. You know?
I think, but that's Tyson's whole career.
Yeah,
fighting guys that have the reach.
But when he was younger,
on him,
he would bob and weave, and he was quicker than a cat, and he'd get up in there.
But and then just one on the kisser, man.
I just hope he hits him with one of those uppercuts. Just catch him one time.
I think Tyson wins this. I don't care how young the discrepancy. Yeah. It is a massive discrepancy, and that is
look.
Man,
I have no I have no doubt Tyson's power is still there. It's going to come down to stamina. If he can,
that's the problem.
This is a stamina issue.
Oh, ironic! You bringing up stamina, Jason. I don't know if you heard this, but Joe told us a story the other day about his 10th grade basketball tryouts.
He's a quitter.
Started with gassers, and
well, started with gassers. All it was gassers.
Well, for you, for the other people, they actually had to do other things. That's the point. Started with gassers. Water break. Our guy Joe just walked out.
Hey.
Yeah. Listen, Jason.
I have always hated conditioning. I remember running like a 2-mile race one time, and
ooh,
at the end of
why were you doing that?
My parents signed me up. It was like a downtown thing. And I like was jogging and then sprinted like the last third of it, finished second, and then turned to my parents and said, I am never doing this again.
That's classic.
I have
finished
always,
second, though. You buried that. That's pretty impressive.
Why
right?
would they do that to you? Were they punishing you?
There was probably something associated with like KeyBank that my mom worked at. Like, I have no idea why I was there, but I was, and it was miserable, and I've always hated running ever since then.
I
can feel you. Gassers are miserable. But
they're better than distance
running.
It never
got me to quit the sport that I love, but it always sucks.
You know what, Jason?
Because
I signed up to play the sport. I didn't sign up to be a freaking runner or a soccer player minus the ball. I signed up for basketball. We're like an hour in. I hadn't seen the ball.
And you have to run up and down the court.
Scorers need the ball to score.
Maybe it should have dawned on you that the reason you're not seeing the ball is also because you're undersized and under speed and under quick.
Sometimes you ever seen Coach Carter? I mean, they didn't even use the ball for like the first.
That's true. That's a good call.
Well, I enjoy watching it more than participating in that. Hey, let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. ArminChevy.com. All right, the poll questions. The first, who wins tonight? Will it be A, the Eagles, or B, Washington? The second, who's the better player? Is it Jalen Hurts or Jaden Daniels? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Speaking of voting, what a segue.
The best.
To Turkey Bowl. Now, Jason, are you familiar with Turkey Bowl here on WIP? Because I know you're a listener. Have you followed
WIP Turkey Bowl? I don't think I am.
All right. So here's what we do. We've done it 5 previous times. We came up with this idea a few years before the pandemic. We had 2 years off, pandemic related. But other than that, annually, we broadcast on Thanksgiving a Thanksgiving classic rivalry high school football game.
Oh, my gosh. Like we're going, actually, I think I have heard of this before.
We go grassroots. Because this is where it all, well, it really starts in grade school. But, like, you know what I mean.
For sure.
It starts in the schools.
No, it's awesome.
And so this is the 6th year that we're having Turkey Bowl. By the way, presented by Cheney University, Empowering Minds, Cultivating Leaders.
There we go.
And Shaping Futures. So we have had over the last roughly 2 months, 14 schools, 7 games, which could be voted upon by everyone worldwide. The votes, John Ritchie, they're in.
We're
not like the state of Arizona. We don't take like this. It's like Arizona. We don't take 5 days to figure out who won the election.
We're announcing
who. We are announcing.
Oh, okay.
Here we go.
This is big.
All right.
This is a big deal.
Big moment for you, Jason.
And for
a drum roll.
A lot of high school kids' dreams.
Yeah, we got a drum roll.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah. And for a lot of these kids, it's going to be their final game.
Yeah.
Unless you're at St. Joe's Prep and you go on state title, college football greatness,
you
pro
were a big
football
part
greatness.
Of that, too. So.
Huge part of that. Cheering from the sideline. Cheering from the sideline.
He was running gas or something out of the future.
All right, here we go. Let's unleash the winner of Turkey Bowl this year. By the way, we had said earlier, it can be Thanksgiving. It can be Thanksgiving week because a lot of games moved to Wednesdays. Drum roll, please. The winning teams that will be featured in Turkey Bowl 6, congratulations to Paul the 6th and Camden Catholic High School, winners of Turkey Bowl 6.
Nice.
To be featured on the Wednesday night prior to Thanksgiving, which I believe is in 13 days.
Yeah, that's our first Wednesday night game, too.
Yes.
How about
Wednesday.
It?
Wednesday.
What the heck? Play football games on Wednesday?
Well, kind of better than Thursday morning when, you know.
Yeah, you're trying to get ready for the turkey. I'll be deep frying a turkey.
Whoa. Good for you. All right, so let me just say this. Congrats to Paul the 6th and Camden Catholic. Thank you to all the schools that had interest because, you know, there's a certain degree of coordination, obviously, to find out that schools are actually interested. So all the schools that didn't win, please know this. Schools like Paul the 6th and Camden Catholic didn't win past years. You can win in future years. We anticipate doing this for many years to come. But we thank all the schools, all the athletic directors, all the coaches, and all the listeners. Look, no offense to everyone that lost. Only one game can get it annually. It is what it is. We expect to move this thing around for many years to all sorts of different games. So congrats to these two teams, though. Each school will receive $3,000 for their athletic departments. So we're happy to award that. A whole bunch of us will be there that day. That'll include, by the way, Hugh and Ike, who are going to be there, and we appreciate Hugh and Ike, you know, lending their time to it as well. And thank you to our presenting sponsors, as I mentioned, Cheney University, Empowering Minds, Cultivating Leaders, and Shaping Futures, and our supporting sponsors, Steamfitters Local 420, Bradford White Water Heaters, and your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Really good stuff. John, we love doing it. So
Paul the 6th, Camden Catholic. It's going to be great. And
sure
that, man.
Is that in Camden? Where's it at?
The game is at Paul the 6th.
Paul the 6th, yeah.
Yeah, at Paul the 6th. So they got home field advantage, like the Eagles tonight.
Yeah.
Home field advantage.
Right. Those games are such a huge deal.
Where is Paul the 6th? Am I?
New Jersey.
That is New Jersey?
Maybe?
Okay.
Isn't it?
Is Haddon Heights? Yeah.
It's in Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just saying what little township it's in.
It's in Haddon Township.
Haddon Township.
Playing with guys that you grew up with, it just means more. You know, getting a chance to, like, this might be the last time you play next to that kid that you grew up playing with.
Right.
It's just a different dynamic than the rest of the football that
it
you
is.
Play.
It is. It's much different. High school is always like a very...
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You know, you're playing with the kids you grew up with, people in the stands, parents that you grew up with.
People. You love. It's just a deeper love. It's the community. There's so much more that's rolled into it.
Yeah.
It means everything.
Love it. All right, so we really look forward to that. It's going to be the Wednesday. And for future years, it'll either be Wednesday or Thursday because a lot of games shifted to Wednesday. So, you know, we'll just follow the bouncing ball every year. But congrats, Paul the Sixth and Camden Catholic. The votes came in, and they won. All right, let's go to Gary in New Jersey right now. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
What's up, Gary?
Jalen and the coach are combined, whether if we win, it wasn't them. If we lose, it was their fault. Like, it's just going on absurdity.
It's gotten a little extreme on some fronts. I agree with you. Look, Gary, I have been frustrated with Jalen, as you know. However, I recognize that he has made many winning plays in recent weeks. His legs have been great in recent weeks, and his deep ball has been exceptional. And other than last week, he hasn't turned the ball over much lately. So I'm still frustrated, but I recognize he does a lot more than some people give him credit for.
And now that he's crossed all of them off, let's find the next thing he can't do.
Well, I'll say this. Start earlier and be better from the pocket at fine. Matter of fact, Gary, let me real quick. I want to give you time here, but I want to play something Ron Jaworski said this week because this did stand out to me, something Jaws said to us about Jalen Hurts for what it's worth. He obviously finished strong last week but did not start strong at all. Here's Jaws when he joined us earlier this week talking about Hurts from the Dallas game.
I actually thought for the most part protection was good early in the game. Jalen was kind of in a funk early in the game. You know, I went through that tape. Mm-hmm. And he had some receivers open. He wasn't pulling the trigger. Now, I don't know. You know, you hear all these complaints about the lights and the sunset and all the other stuff. I'm not there, so I really don't know. But it just appeared to me he wasn't seeing the field with clarity and was holding on to the football. Then once he worked his way through it, he was fine and played terrific out of that. But he was just in a real funk early in the game.
And Gary, here's my point. You can get away with that versus Dallas and Cleveland and the Giants. But when you face the better teams, it's going to be important that he goes 60 minutes stronger. And we'll see. But he has improved in recent weeks, and we'll see if he can maintain it.
Yeah. So Richie inspired me to do a song. I don't know if you want me to hit it or no.
Oh, song.
Yeah.
Live performance.
I mean,
okay.
We appreciate the short versions. How long is this? Because once you go, and what do we got?
It's not long, and maybe you'll let me get to the end. It's kind of funny, but I don't know. Can we do it?
Do it.
Just try to make it 20 right. seconds or less.
All right, you got it.
Okay.
On the road to 1%, just can't wait to get on the road to 1%. Getting checked out of running back like Shaquan's my best friend. And I just can't wait to get on the road to 1%. Like the best of friends, me and Nick are rolling down the Super Bowl highway. But sometimes I do it my way. On the road to 1%. Just can't wait to get on the road to 1%. Winning football games, throwing touchdowns to my friends. And I just can't wait to get on the road to 1%.
That's pretty good.
Hey. Not bad, Gary. All right, like buddy. Yeah.
I like that. So this, for those that don't know, this stems from John mimicking what coaches say.
He's obsessed with 1%.
Yeah, and my point is, well, how about you get
2%
better?
How about 10?
About 10% better. If Joel gets 1% better, yep. That ain't good.
1% every day, 365 by the end of the year.
Yeah, but we also don't have, you know, too long to go here. Like the Sixers, yeah. Sixers at 2-9. If they don't pick it up, they're going to miss the playoffs. All right, Gary, very entertaining. Give me an answer. What's an American classic?
Sixers. I won yesterday. Thank you, guys. I'm going to go with the Ford Mustang.
Nice.
That is a good answer right there. And, John, what did you say earlier? The Corvette?
No, the 63 split window coupe.
Yeah, Mustang.
It's not just the Corvette.
Gotcha.
It's a 63.
All right, Corvette. So I want to get to... go ahead, I'm sorry, Jesse.
That, yeah. It's always kind of like bugged me. And it comes from like the... was it like that British like cycling thing where it's like,
is it
marginal gain where it's like if you just get a little bit better each and every day you're going to be significantly better down the road? And I think that the theory of it is fantastic. My problem with like the theory of 1% better is that it often leads to people focusing on minimal things that aren't really actually making them better. They're just like like it's like no, let's focus on the things that are going to maximize potential, not like these frivolous things that really aren't going to make it. Difference.
Oh, fascinating.
Like
yeah.
Today I'm working on my toenail cut angle because it's going to help me fire out.
I still remember I like took my vitamin D today, so I got 1%. But I was like, vitamin D ain't going to help us beat the Commanders.
That's some That's some BS. You can't trick us and pretend you did the 1% like that.
That's funny. Exactly.
That's good.
Where I've always had an issue with it.
So the pitfall.
Yeah. Eagles in Washington tonight. Couple final minutes with Jason in studio here. So I want to read something to both of you. John, you played for 7 years in pro football. And Jason, you were what, 13, 12?
13, yeah.
All right. So there was an article yesterday in ESPN I want to tap into because it really struck me as, like, this article, the author captured something you don't normally hear. We on the outside don't often hear.
Yeah.
And I thought it was fascinating. So I want to give a shout-out to this guy, Tim Keon, if I'm saying his name right, from ESPN. It's a long story about Aaron Rodgers. And what I'm going to read isn't an Aaron Rodgers thing. It's a football thing. So I want to read both of you guys a passage he wrote about what the NFL really is like. Because, you know, we're going to sit back tonight and we're going to enjoy the game and some guys are going to get brutalized and some guys are going to get injured and some team's going to win. And hopefully it's the Eagles. And I think it'll be the Eagles. But this paragraph, I just
want to read this from your phone like that.
Yeah. Because
I see the way he reads, Jason.
I got the glasses, but I don't have the readers. It's a whole thing.
It's a thing. All right.
It's a thing. The phone is about nose length away.
I'm happy, Jason,
are you
going to
close
see what
the magnification
see
up? Like, what are we at, man? I want to see what this
is. Are you going to close an eye?
I am.
This is what we do.
No,
with Jason.
Wait, you are?
I'm going to close one eye.
Are you serious?
That's what he does. He closes one eye. That's what he always does. And puts it right up against it.
How is it that you're still doing? You did this 7 years ago, man. Like,
he's getting 1% better. He's getting
doctor.
Jason,
he's getting 1% worse.
I'm getting 20% worse. All right, here we go. This is what the author wrote about the NFL. He says this, the post-game locker room is the real NFL. It smells like blood and sweat and soil and bears no resemblance to the glitzy pregame introductions. Here, large men sit at their lockers, their backs to the room, shoes off, helmets tossed to the side, clenching and unclenching their fists to make sure they still work. There are yards and yards of athletic tape on the floor, stained red from blood and green from grass and brown from dirt. The same guys who ran through the tunnel in clean jerseys a few hours ago now stare into their lockers, wondering how long it's going to take to stand up. Winning and losing look the same and smell the same and hurt the same. It just all sounds different in the end. I thought it was an incredible passage.
That's amazing.
So, Jason,
well written, very dramatic.
Tell us about that. Like, 11:30 tonight. How beat up are these guys?
I mean, especially after a Thursday game, they're going to be sore. I will say, I disagree. I think that winning, you undoubtedly feel better than after a loss.
I thought that too. I thought that was a little weird at the end.
The point is, you're still doing the same physical damage in a lot of ways, win or lose. But there is something about the mentality, and like, I remember. I had a very hippie buddy one time tell me that they were doing studies and they could show that after a win, like, men's testosterone was like higher, and after a loss, their testosterone was lower.
Wow.
Like, doing studies, and it was why he was against competition, because you were literally stealing energy from the other person. And I was like, all right.
That definitely sounds like a hippie thing to say.
I'll see you next week. But I think undoubtedly you feel better after wins, no matter how much more grueling the game was. And the pain and the fatigue is definitely more magnified in a loss. You're still on that high after a win, so it's not like that. But
weird stuff that hurts, too. Yeah. The stuff that looks like it hurts usually doesn't. And then there's always a weird play where you don't even look like you. Yeah, you might not even remember. That's where it was. And now you're crippled for the next 3 weeks because of something that looks like nothing happened at all.
But he did nail, like, sitting at the lot. Like, the older I got in my career, the longer it took me to get undressed, the more you're just, like, sitting, you're so tired.
I can't imagine how tired you must have gotten but, at the end.
But I will say, like,
13 years.
Even in that state, you're not wallowing mostly on the pain or like the fact that your hand hurts closing it. You're still thinking about the high of winning, or you're still thinking about your teammates and what you just went through. So that's where I think it's wrong. Although that is a reality and like the actual nature of what's happening, and you might feel that the next day, in the moment, no part of me at least felt any type of remorse for what I just did, or any type of like, oh man, I can't believe it. You know, there's no like wallow of sorrow, even with the pain. It's more of like a pride that we just went out there, especially if we won. If we lost, I'm thinking about what we can do to win the next time.
Yep.
So that's where it's like, that's a very beautifully written piece.
Yeah, it was interesting. Fans don't hear that often. That part of it.
That's the reality of it.
Yeah.
I mean, and from an objector looking on the outside, I could see like that would be very apparent, like what it looks like.
Yep.
But I think in all the players, at least from my own head, it's not that much of like a... You're not thinking about that in that moment.
Jason, let's wrap with this. And again, Jason with us in studio for an hour every Thursday. Eagles win tonight?
I do think they win. I think that they're playing really, really well right now, and I think they're the better team. And I think, you know, as long as they take care of the football and play up to their standard, they will win this game.
Let's do one more thing, actually, while Jason's here. Let's play the Jaws audio one more time, because this was something. Jaws on Jaden Daniels really grabbed our attention earlier this week. Look, Jaden Daniels has grabbed all of our attention with what he's put out there on the field this year. And here's Ron Jaworski talking earlier this week to us about how great, and he means great, Jaden Daniels has been this year. Jaden Daniels, how good is he?
I don't want to overblow what I'm going to say, but I will. He's the best rookie quarterback I have ever seen, Joe.
That's a big wow, Joss.
I've seen a lot of them. I came in this league in 1973. I've been around a long time. The guy has been absolutely phenomenal. There's, you know, his calmness, his ability to throw the ball deep, short, his anticipation. I watch his feet. He's very calm in the pocket. And he's a guy that kind of plays with a smile on his face. He's enjoying playing football. And he seems to have rallied the Washington Commanders, and where he's the guy that is their future. He's really been outstanding. His ability to extend the play, read coverage, throw accurately. I mean, it's remarkable for a rookie. I've been just blown away.
Jason, that's a challenge tonight, man. And going to be for 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, listen, to get that kind of praise from Jaws is incredible. You know, he's been watching football for a long time, and I think that's the way everybody feels. I know that everybody thinks he's the best rookie of all time or whatever, but I think that undoubtedly you watch him play, it is impressive. He's poised. He makes great decisions. He makes everyone around him better. They have a good team. They play very well together, but there's no question that the quarterback operating at the level he is making them significantly better. This is a huge test for the Eagles defense that has been playing lights out as of late. And, you know, Washington can hurt you in a number of ways. I actually think the key to this game is stopping the run. If they're more physical and they can shut down Brian Robinson, who has been kind of like the unheralded, that running game.
And he's healthy and back. Like, he's rested healthy and back, which is scary.
Yeah, he was still limited. But I don't know if he's fully healthy, but he is playing, I think.
He's
and Eckler's been good, too.
They have a good three-headed back. Their offensive line is plays well together. Not a lot of stars up front. And Jaden, his ability to run opens up the run game even more. If they shut down that run game and they can find a way to pressure him while not letting him escape, which is kind of what Pittsburgh did last week.
Yep.
I think that they will win this game, but I think that it's easier said than done.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Jason, enjoy the game tonight, man.
Alrighty.
Have a blast. Jason, everyone get some garage beer for tonight, for the weekend, for the holidays. Jason's Beer, Garage Beer. Thanks, Jason.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, 215-592-9494 to join the program. We get closer and closer to kickoff now in less than 12 hours. Let's talk to Seth. He's calling from media. Seth, good morning, buddy.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing great, Seth.
Getting excited, Seth.
Yeah,
it is game day, man.
Yeah, it's good.
We're going to the game tonight, man. I'm ready to freeze my butt off and watch the Eagles take care of the Commodores.
You know what? It's crispy. It's crisp out there, but it's going to be warm once you get going and the juices start flowing.
Plus, it's not January yet. This isn't like the Eagles Bucks in 2000, which was
it's 47 at kickoff. That's not frigid.
Yeah. Do you remember that one, Rhea?
You'll feel great
Eagles Bucks 2000.
Oh yeah.
It was a New Year's Eve.
Yep.
It was brutally cold.
There have been the coldest I ever remember covering an Eagles game was a Eagles Ravens in Baltimore, the tie.
Oh, for the love of God!
And I was in the auxiliary press box of Old Memorial Stadium.
97, right?
No heat.
Oh, well, that's brutal.
No heat. I was going to the bathroom every break because that was the only place there was heat. Couldn't feel my fingers.
Brutal. All right, Seth, go ahead, buddy.
I was at the coldest game I can remember was I went to the December, I think it was December 5th, back in the 90s. They went the 4th-and-1 game against the Cowboys. I was sitting up in the 600 level with my mom, and that was brutal. Still snow in the seats and everything. But we're up top tonight, so it's been a while since I've sat up there. The last few years we sat down lower, which is great to be close to the game, but I think it's you definitely don't see everything happen and unfold the same way you do when you're up a little bit higher, so... definitely looking forward to that.
Yep.
I think the defensive line has to eat tonight for sure. I think you got to pressure. You got to maybe get some of those nickel blitzes going and pressure Jaden Daniels and try and make him make some quick decisions. Hopefully, make a mistake or two because our secondary is on point. And if we can rush him to make a pass,
yeah,
I think we can definitely capitalize on that.
Well, Seth, so I agree with you. I'll say this: I think we're all looking forward to seeing the Eagles' defense against a better offense too. Have a little bit more of a fuller assessment of what the Eagles have. I think the D's pretty good, but I do still worry about the pass rush. And
the pass rush is not good enough. In order to get him feeling that pressure, it's likely that we're going to have to do it with people other than the edge guys, and that means you're sacrificing. You're sacrificing zones of coverage. Basically, for us, that means in the middle because we like to send our middle inside backers. So I'm pretty sure he knows what to expect. Jaden Daniels does, and he's gonna be looking to pop that ball right over the middle when those backers disappear.
Do you expect to see Cooper kind of if they do end up sending guys from the edge, him to kind of peel back and kind of take over a corner
sometimes
a corner position?
Well, sometimes you can do that. I do think they'll be deceptive with Cooper. I think Cooper DeJean would be a great guy to, keep tabs on Jaden Daniels every once in a while.
He's so athletic.
Well, him and Ertz is going to be a great battle, too. I mean,
that's going to be a great matchup to watch.
Yeah.
But there are other – look, I think Quinyon Mitchell will have a chance on Zach Ertz at times. But Terry McLaurin usually being on the outside. I think you're going to see all sorts of combinations until you find stuff that works against Zach Ertz and Terry McLaurin.
Sure. Hey, Seth, give me an answer, man. For the Flyers tickets we're giving away today, what's an American classic?
Oh, you can't go wrong with a cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger is a good answer. I like that. Let's talk to Ken.
The simplicity there.
It's simplicity.
Really good answer.
I'm still,
Do you even do cool stuff on your burger?
Are you sometimes.
I know that once upon a time you were very onion-based.
Correct.
And then you peeled back a little bit on the onion.
I see what you did there. It's good wordplay.
It has helped me with...
The issues. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
Yes. But it does depend on two things. Am I at an event where I got to watch the breath? And am I somewhere where I don't have access to a bathroom with ease?
I can't believe you have to think about
it's
that.
It's B2B, bathroom and breath.
I know, I can't believe... I'm sorry
B2B
for
B2B,
you.
Bathroom and breath.
I really feel awful that you have to deal with all that stuff.
John, will you get a bidet?
I'll get a urinal.
What if I told you the bidet will change your life?
I want a urinal more.
That's dumb.
I think you're dumb.
Fine.
That was a mature debate.
It was a high-level back and forth right there. Yeah.
I'll get a bidet if you get a urinal.
I won't get a urinal because I don't have room in my apartment. It's too small. You guys don't understand how small it is. Will you come to my apartment, John, in order to hang out? And then while there, at some point, you
don't say
the bidet.
Try the bidet. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Try the bidet.
You can't share a bidet.
You very much can.
I don't want to use that.
There's having bidet parties.
It feels unsanitary.
When my friends come over, sometimes we load up on cheesesteaks and pizza and stuff,
God.
So
what?
Everyone gets a shot at the bidet.
Wait,
no, that part I made up. But people have had a shot at the bidet. But we have not.
Oh, no.
We have not sought out nasty food in order for you to get there.
Sure.
No.
Wow.
All right. I would like to swing by.
It is. I'm just telling you.
I would like to swing by and hang out.
Okay.
I do not want to try that.
Okay,
the bidet thing.
That's your choice.
I don't think I need that. I'm telling you, Joe, my diet, I feel like I eat pretty well.
Okay.
And I don't even what you're talking about having,
you're in better shape.
I don't
than
even have to you're worry
lucky.
About it.
You're lucky.
Yeah,
let's
I
go,
am.
Let's go to Ken and Cinnaminson right now. What's going on, Ken?
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Good, buddy.
Great, Ken.
I'm rubber. You're glue.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it sounded like, that that conversation. Yeah. Sticks and stones may break
dumb.
My bones, but John Ritchie will never
dummy.
Hurt me.
Yeah.
John, you swing by my house and hang out anytime you want.
I would love to.
I'm going to force you to try out my plumbing equipment. You can use it at your own free will. So,
I really don't feel tempted at all.
I was just trying to help him if he doesn't want to take the physical challenge.
But I do want to get a urinal now. So I'm glad we had that conversation.
It's been
I think it's a conversation that we needed to, yeah.
All right, Ken, what do you got on the Eagles?
And John, you took my Corvette answer. I might have told you this before, but when I was a freshman in high school, my dad actually bought a 63 split window Corvette, and we spent like 8 years restoring it. It was great father-son bonding time. And I can put together that small block 327, 340 horse engine, take it apart and put it together blindfolded.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's like DeFonz, when DeFonz had lost his eyesight, but put a car back together.
Yeah.
In a very notable Happy Days episode.
That was amazing. I remember that. How was he temporarily blind?
I think he got hit.
It was an accident.
Something happened, and I think he got hit by a neighborhood tough guy, and then Fonz was blind for a couple days.
Neighborhood tough.
But he could still.
Yeah. All right, Ken, I need what you got on the Eagles.
So, first of all, Joe, welcome to the Sirianni team. You're not quite there yet, but I've been telling you for 2 years we got a special head coach.
Yeah, you've been leading that.
You're starting to come around on this. Look, the Commanders are a great story, and Jaden Daniels has been really good. But as James pointed out, that kid has played a lot of college football, so he's one of the most experienced rookies you're going to see at that position.
Well, especially this day and age, because a lot of the great ones leave after 3 years now.
Exactly, but the Eagles.
So what?
Are
so
much.
What does that so matter?
Better.
Like, why does that? Why do
he's
people
more ready to play? The reason we're saying he's the best rookie we've ever seen is because he's not really a rookie like rookies used to be.
Right.
The guy started like 60 college football games as a quarterback,
and
that means something.
I agree with you, but college football is so completely different than NFL football. What he's done, like bridging this gap, the virtual reality thing makes a huge difference.
Yeah, but John, you're focusing too much on that. He's just a great player.
I've seen a lot.
Way too much. Michael Jordan was good because of virtual reality.
I've seen so many college quarterbacks.
The fact that he played 60 games in college is way more a reason
really
that he's successful than VR, without a doubt.
Translates to the
I think
NFL?
Playing,
because
I think
it doesn't.
It's reps,
it
man.
Are you? No, it's not. It's college
not reps.
It's college reps to play in the NFL.
But that's part of why
that's
he's
better
good
than
now.
VR no reps. That's not even real reps. That's just mental reps.
I can't. Give me an answer, my man.
I understand.
American Classic, what do you have?
Well, listen, just if the Eagles don't turn the football over tonight, there's no way they can lose to this team. They're that much better than this team. So that just
I agree with that.
I just want to make sure I put that out there.
Okay.
I think we can win by double digits if we don't turn it over.
I think so, too. I don't think the game's going to be as close as people are worried about. But in terms of American Classic, Joe, look, they played this game in camp during the Civil War. The World Series is the ultimate American Classic.
Good answer.
Well, yeah, they didn't play the World Series during the Civil War, but they played baseball during the Civil War. So what am I writing down, baseball or the World Series?
He said the World Series.
Well,
baseball is probably a better answer.
Bad presentation. Can I tell you why? World Series started in 1903.
Yeah.
Civil War ended 1865.
Yeah, baseball is, you should have said baseball.
Should have said baseball. World Series, an unfortunate answer. Speaking of answers, we got an answer from Zach Ertz this week. I believe this was on John Clark's podcast. And credit to John for tracking down Zach, who's a great guy. His family's, they're great people.
Such great people. Like,
yeah,
and Zach,
are.
He was there when I worked for the team too. Was always the nicest
totally.
Guy.
Yeah, I mean, they're wonderful. They do an incredible amount of charity work. So, Zach Ertz, back in town right now, obviously, getting ready for tonight. Maybe he's sleeping, maybe he's not, but
maybe he's tuning in. What up, Zach?
Hey, Zach could be he really could be listening. I mean, there's no question he could be. So let's listen to Zach Ertz, and Zach Ertz can listen to himself if he's listening right now. Here's Zach earlier this week on coming back to face the Eagles.
Just because I'm playing down here now doesn't change how I feel about the city and the people and the fans there. So I don't know what the reception is going to be, but at the same time, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a fun day to see so many familiar faces.
Reception will be great. What's the moment like? Rhea, how do they do this tonight? What is the protocol? So we don't know if he gets introduced or not. Dalk got introduced when he came back with Denver. Defense got introduced. Dalk came out last.
They're doing it at halftime, right?
Well, they won't do halftime.
He won't be out there.
No, he won't be out there.
What is the methodology?
When they play, I guess they'll maybe put something
pre-game,
up on the
screen.
Pre-game?
I would think pregame they like put a camera on him when he's on the sideline. And he said he didn't know what the reception is because he has to say it. Yeah. He is going to get a big cheer.
No question about it. So a couple minutes before kickoff? Is that the...
I think that's a move. As far as you could do it before kickoff when all the teams are out there, but there are still fans
it's
in the building, I think.
It's what you have to do because you just want to give some separation before...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Their faces in.
And the two teams could get together on how to do this. It wouldn't shock me if the Eagles reach out to Washington and say, hey, we're going to do something. Let's make it comfortable for him. Like, he could be captain. He could be the guy that comes out for the coin toss.
True. That's another good point. Yeah.
Coin toss
that.
Moment.
That would really help. That's a good call. I don't know why they wouldn't make him that.
He will be out there for the coin toss.
Coin toss moment would be cool. He's standing right there at midfield, and that'd be a nice way to...
Lane across from him, all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
that'd be good. Gardner Johnson not allowed to hit Zach Ertz hard tonight. This is one of those... no, this is one of those tackle... But don't
sorry.
Hurt.
If he goes head over tea kettle, I'm okay with it.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.